Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, you industrial professionals from all around the world, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. My name is Scott McKenzie, your industrial voice. And this is where the industrial professional comes to talk and then share with us our wisdom and insight and the challenges and the winning and all of that good stuff that comes a part of being in the industrial profession. We got an incredible interview today. His name is Joseph Snyder. He is the founder and CEO of Lannister Holding. And we're going to talk blockchain. I know. You're saying to yourself, blockchain. Ooh. I'm telling you, it is the thing. And I am glad that we've got this gentleman and his brother on the podcast. So let's get it going and the show on the road. Yeah. God, there's so much out there. I mean, there really is. Just the industrial profession is just incredible. I'm so happy that, I mean, I'm never without any interviews. My gosh. I mean, there's just so many things that people do. I'm just flabbergasted. And I don't even know how to spell that word. I do not know how to spell flabbergast, but I'll use it right now. And those of you who are out there know that I am training for a competition at the end of September. It's an old man competition because I'm not a young man. And I'm eating my macros, and it's a proper balance of carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I got to keep eating. But before we get going, let's get this, safety out of the way.
Tailgate talk number one.
All right. Okay, so go out to industrialtalk.com. I've got a series out there called Business Beatitudes. It's really dealing with the mind, and it's the beautiful attitudes for business leaders. It's a series of probably 7 or 8 short reads, nothing fancy. Get your mind right. Beautiful attitudes for industrial leaders, business beatitudes. So check it out. Let me know. Send me a note. Say, hey, that's great stuff. Or, hey, what about this? I'm always into hearing good information. Criticism doesn't matter. Want to be the best I possibly can be for you, the industrial professional.
Number two.
Okay, we're going to be venturing into business development, too. We're going to be starting a series. And I've lined up some great folks to begin developing that series. And it all talks about business development here at the Industrial Talk Podcast. Really passionate about filling that funnel, increasing that market share, bringing into your company, your profession, more opportunities. So sort of stay tuned. And once again, industrialtalk.com. It's out there. We're getting ready to pull it together, put a little meat on the bones. So just hang tight on that one.
Number three.
Finally. We're going to also start a series on customer-centric focus and what your customer's looking for and how you can satisfy. It is all geared toward filling that funnel, expanding your market share, and making an impact. As I tell you all the time, I think you have an incredible role to play in changing the world. You as an industrial professional, you as an industrial business owner, I believe you have a really important role to play. So that's what we're all about. Check those out. That's Business Beatitudes, and that is business development, as well as customer focus. These are series that are out there. And, of course, I'm going to slap a video here and there, and we're going to be doing podcasts. It's all about you and making you a better professional. So hang tight on that one. And, okay, let's get this. Here I am, and I'm thinking to myself, blockchain. I see it out there on the World Wide Web, and I have no clue. I don't even know how the blockchain technology is going to impact and, you know, the industrial space. And I'm thinking to myself, I better find out. I better find somebody who understands this stuff, because for me, I try to read it, but it's better to hear somebody talk about it who's read it and is going to talk about it. That's why we've got Joseph Snyder. He goes by Joe. Once again, founder, CEO of Lannister Holding. He got his brother on, and both of them are very insightful into blockchain. I'm excited to have them on. I think that it's going to be spectacular for you to understand more and more about blockchain. And then, of course, we're going to find out how to get a hold of these guys at the end. So without me blabbering on, let's get these guys on the podcast and get them interviewing. So hang tight. Here he is, Joe Snyder. All right, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. I've got two guys. Now, it was supposed to be one guy, but I got two guys on this podcast. The gentleman that is supposed to be on here, his name is Joseph Snyder, right? And he goes by Joe. And then the next gentleman here is Chris Brown, and he is the surprise guest. He's the CTO with, now this is Lannister, right? Lannister
Holdings? That's correct. Lannister Holdings, Lannister Development.
Well, welcome, guys. Thank you very much. I know it's busy, and you guys took time out of your busy schedule to be with me. And then, Chris, you're down in Colombia, which just blows me away.
Yes, I am. Glad to be here.
The food is good because it's always about the food.
Oh, the food's amazing here. It's incredible. I love it.
Thank you very much. And why don't we do this? Hey, Joe, why don't you give us a little 411 on who you are and what your background is, and then, Chris, we'll just jump into you two as well.
You know what? Let me have Chris go first, because I always go first.
I'm the host here. I'm the host.
Since we added a whole other guest, why don't we flip the script, and I'm gonna have Chris do the lead in here. How does that sound?
Well, let me just write it down. Go ahead, Chris.
No, this is against the host instructions. No.
We're not going to have an argument. Go, somebody. What do you got?
All right, I'm Christopher Brown, CTO of Lannister Holdings and Lannister Development. Lannister Holdings is our public-facing company, and then Lannister Development is our actual technology development company. So we've set up a software development company around the concept of blockchain development. And my job in all of this is setting up the teams and understanding the technology and finding the inroads into enterprise where we can make things that really make a difference in the world we live in today.
Now, we're going to be expanded upon that blockchain and the technology and why it's so different than whatever is today. And I just that to me. But Chris, your background, who makes Chris Chris? What makes you a superstar? Tell me a little bit about you as opposed to Lannister, the company, because we're going to get into Lannister, the company. You. Make it real.
Me? I'm your typical super nerd, essentially. I'm the kid that, you know, got my first computer at 10 years old and figured out how to start writing code.
Commodore 64?
No. This was Windows 95 was my first operating system.
Very good.
Yeah, a little bit younger than that.
So, and you guys, and you live in where? Phoenix? Where do you live?
I'm out of Phoenix, I live just Southeast Valley, Phoenix.
Well, fantastic. Now, Joe, give us a 411 on who you are.
Absolutely. I am Joseph Snyder. I am the CEO of Lannister Holdings and Lannister Development, and I am a serial entrepreneur. Chris and I have built multiple businesses in multiple verticals at this point in our lives. We've exited a few things and played with all kinds of fun stuff, and I have had a dream of scaling businesses since I was quite young. I started my entrepreneurial career at 8 or 9 years old, selling random things door to door to my neighbors out in the country. And then when I was about 21, 22, I sat down at my kitchen table and I knew there was money in real estate. So I found a way to start flipping some real estate. My timing was good. That was 2001, 2002. So that went well for a while and then went not so well for a while and things like that. Yes. But yeah, the not so well part, not a lot of fun there, but, you know, I've had a great journey so far and I have learned a lot. As I've grown into my later 30s now, I have found that humility and kindness and a kind of balanced mindset really gets me a whole lot farther than pushing things and driving things and pounding on doors. So it's kind of a new evolution of myself as an executive. And you know, we Chris and I, you know, kind of imagined and crafted this particular business play, specifically with the ideology of building a completely remote work company. So we are a decentralized organization building distributed technologies. And that was a challenge specifically for me as an executive. You know, we did this, Chris and I did this for almost 3 years as a private company, a consulting firm building blockchain, doing tech builds, doing consulting. and after we had an exit on our risk management business. And so that first year was really tough. I mean, I burned people and did things that I wouldn't do now. Thank heavens. You know, that learning curve was tough of figuring out how to build a culture and sustain a culture without a water cooler conversation, right? And so that was really interesting, but it brought us some amazing results and incredible people.
I think the future is really quite fascinating to me, because there is no reason why you can't have this sort of remote working model. I mean, you figure the cost associated. Now, it's a challenge, don't get me wrong, but I think that the technology and the abilities to be able to do that and to are there. That to me is fascinating.
The technology is there for sure. You know, right. It's a matter of psychology, I think, at this point, and culture that really have to come into play in order to pull that off.
And I think it's just going to happen. It just has to happen, honestly, you know. So let's talk a little bit about what makes me fascinated by you two is the fact that you're really focused and all in on blockchain. And now I've been out there and I've been looking at the old World Wide Web and trying to learn as much as I possibly can. And I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about how blockchain, the technology of blockchain, can positively, negatively, whatever it might be, to impact the industrial space. And when you start talking about the industrial space, the industrial market, you're looking at, you know, big companies, small companies, support companies, 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 companies everywhere, and people, people, people. And from my perspective, you know, I understand the traditional stuff. Tell me and tell the listeners in a very simple way, not something that will make my ears bleed, blockchain. And why this is so unique and why this is so important and how this impacts the future and the way we do business.
That's like 9 questions.
Yeah, I pretty much rattled off, and if you want me to, I can't relive that again. You're just going to have to wing it, and then we'll just say
we're gonna handle that for you.
Good.
Well, first of all, let me speak from the business side, and then Chris can kind of inject from the technical side. From the business side, we and it was, you know, before we started recording, we were talking about the Blue Ocean Strategy book, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And
great book.
I think that book, along with Ryan Holiday's "The Obstacle Is the Way," which is about stoicism and mindset and you know, tractional and actionable philosophy. You know, you put those two books together among the other hundreds that Chris and I absorb because you know we're geeks. And we get this viewpoint of the world that says, what is deployable, what is executable, and what is truly cutting edge. And blockchain was that. As we played with technologies and as we worked around different sectors, like, you know, in risk management and financial services and law firms and industrial, right? Oil and gas and wind applications. We were doing things with technology like migrating, you know, IT services and infrastructure to the cloud, right? Doing all this different stuff and building out some blockchain technology for startups and for fundraising and, you know, fun things. And as we did that, we kept kind of coming back to each other and looking at each other and having this conversation that says, these tools are simply a better way. They're simply a better way to compile and inspect your data. They are simply a better, faster, more secure, more transparent way to execute your multi-party contracts, right? If you have any kind of a contract, you know, oil field or energy royalty contracts are a great example, right? You've got a single input point of data, and then you have this disparate payment stream that goes just to a myriad amount of right recipients. So these technologies allow you to deploy a distributed ledger within an organization, digital smart contracts within an organization that already exists.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt real quick because I need, for me personally, and I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, I need to be level set, meaning how is it today and the challenges today, and where does the blockchain say, all right, you do it this way and it's all good to go, thumbs up, all that fantastic. Can you just sort of say, this is where we're at today and why blockchain is...
Sure. I think that's maybe a little more on the technical side. Chris, you want to jump on that?
Sure. I mean, essentially, you're creating trusted intermediaries, right? So you're creating a way for execution of third-party trusted pieces on a trustless system. So you're distributing the network, you're distributing decision-making among either trusted or anonymous and just large-scale parties. And then using what we call smart contracts, which are essentially programmatic contracts distributed among this network, to create instantaneous transactions, which would otherwise currently require a high level of trust. Things just like, it's a distributed ledger. So things that you're keeping track of, say, title and real estate or something, where there's an intermediary escrow and title company who take weeks upon weeks to investigate the chain of title, make sure, you know, the owners are the owners that they say they are, actually make the transaction, file the paperwork, do all of those things. That transfers to a potentially near instantaneous transaction on a system like this. A simple example that everybody knows about is, of course, cryptocurrencies, right? The, you know, Bitcoin, you can send it to anybody you want, and anybody can receive it that has a wallet, and those transactions are instant and very, very cheap. I just saw one the other day was 150 million euros was transferred for something like the equivalent of 4 cents, you know, and that's an instantaneous transaction, and you're removing tons of layers of intermediates and regulation and everything else that's built into the current systems that really weigh them down.
But you're going to have parties. Party A, Party B, right? Say, mm-hmm. Hey, yeah, this is how we are going to transact business, right?
Right.
And then Party A and Party B say, these are the components associated with our transaction of business. We want this, we want this, we want this. And we trust and we all have this conversation. And so when that thing starts to spit out information and goes to the other side, everybody's like, yeah, good. Is that how it happens?
Yes.
You guys are in the middle of that and saying, okay, hey, Company A, Company B, we're going to do this. Let's figure this out. And then we're going to transfer this information and everybody's happy. Is that right? And vice versa.
Right. Yes. So you're looking for pain points. You're looking for delay points. You're looking for struggles where, you know, things could be automated and moved more quickly if you had agreed upon programmatic results between two parties, for payments or delivery or, you know, things like that.
Right. And today let's say I got to go to an escrow account. So I'll do this and I've got paperwork and I'm sitting down, which I can't stand. I'd rather just set my hair on fire. If I had hair, I'd set it on fire. Go down to that office, sit down, fill out the paperwork, and it's all paper. And then it goes to that escrow, and the escrow then goes over here and then does it and then figures it out. And then whoever the other side is, that's what you guys are just primarily with technology. And, of course, this is still relatively new, right? Sort of in its infancy. And to your point, it's true blue water stuff.
Well, right. I mean, you got to remember there's a couple more pieces inside of what the system you were just saying there, because what is the margin of error of you filling out that paperwork? And then what is the margin of error of escrow company receiving that paperwork, correctly filling it into their systems or whatever way they do that, and then correctly filling out paperwork that they then send on again, right? You have multiple error points there. Now, moving into, you know, Internet of Things and technology pieces and stuff, there's also margin of error in those, right? The data can just simply be corrupted as it's sent. It can be read incorrectly. Bits can flip. Things happen. But which one has a higher margin of error and which one has a higher cost of error, right?
Right.
So there's a lot of small and moving pieces in there that get disrupted, we can say, along the way of creating.
And in adding time. It just adds time.
Right.
What you're saying, what is your precious commodity here, quite frankly, is time. You're just saying, I'm going to compress the time. We're going to make this transaction happen. Mm-hmm. I want this transaction to happen, but I don't want to wait 45 days or 90 days or whatever it is. Let's make it happen now. We're all adults here.
And coming from the background where we're coming from a background of scaling out risk management and playing with real estate, you know, investment and finance and then building technologies, and our background in those kind of three things gives us what we see as a very unique viewpoint. which is what matters to enterprise organizations? What matters to Chevron? What matters to Walmart? What matters to the, you know, large oil field or wind services companies whose names we don't even know off the top of our head? And what matters in these transactions is not just time, it's transaction cost, it's the unmitigated downside risk of compounded human error, right? And we see that very clearly in these existing organizational systems. Last Thursday and Friday, I was in San Francisco at an event at Draper University. And Tim Draper is a, you know, crypto, I mean, he was already a billionaire, I think, but he's a crypto billionaire, right? He's got his hedge funds and he invests heavily in crypto. Michael Arrington was also there. He just raised $100 million hedge fund that's Arrington XRP. So it's a hedge fund that pays out its returns in cryptocurrencies. Now, we do not consider ourselves a crypto company. We understand the use cases. You know, Chris and the teams can build that stuff all day long, and that's all great. But there's a different viewpoint that we take within this particular usage of technology and within industries in general. At those meetings, I don't want to say I was the only person there because I wasn't, but we were one of the select few who was not just crypto, 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 crypto. We were saying, look, yes, these technologies facilitate Bitcoin transactions in a very, you know, secure way. Yes, they support Ethereum transactions. And as these networks get to where they have the transactions per second loads that they can facilitate the type of transactional load that Visa has, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, then they're going to be more ubiquitous and more useful and everything else like that. But those technologies also facilitate a better way to transact the systems and processes and contracts and inspection points of existing industry and enterprise business, right? And that's across the industrial sectors, that's across the financial sectors, that's across the insurance sectors. And our viewpoint is about saying, look, if you are a 4 or 6 party insurance conglomerate across 3 states, and you need to inspect your document streams, you need to inspect your claims process, you need to inspect, you need to track through your supply chains. Blockchain technology as a core functionality allows you to implement new systems and technologies within your existing framework, within your existing organizational structure, with more transparency, a lower overall cost base, and far less known and unknown risk factors.
Okay, we're going to take a break right now. We're talking blockchain, and I know myself, I'm enjoying it. Thank you guys. So we're talking with Mr. Chris Brown and as well as Joseph Schneider. We'll be right back. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right. The Industrial Talk Podcast has a new sponsor by the name of ASG Energy. Now, this company helps private companies as well as public organizations of all sizes reduce energy costs through the use of commercial LED lighting technology and electrical services. Now, you know me. I'm a big fan of LED just because, well, first off, I don't have to change the lights. But on a commercial basis, oh my gosh, the energy savings is phenomenal. The reduction in maintenance costs, phenomenal. Return on investment, quick, it's incredible. And the environmental benefits, self-explanatory. So, you have any questions about LED commercial lighting, you need to check out my friends at ASGEnergyLLC.com. Find out more because they know what they're doing. So, check them out. All right, welcome back to the Industrial Talk Podcast. We're talking blockchain. We got a couple of gents by the name of Joe Schneider, because he goes by Joe, not Joseph. And then a gentleman by the name of Chris Brown. He is the CTO of Lannister, right? I got it right? Lannister?
Yep. Lannister
Holdings.
Where did
Lannister come from? Where did that name come from? What is Lannister? Give me a...
Okay. So, you know, we get asked that a lot, and we never actually crafted a really great answer to that. And so my answer to that is that we were... We had a list of names on a sheet that our team was looking at and playing with and seeing how they felt. And we wanted a name that kind of resonated with, you know, established, you know, aristocracy, and also was very, very relevant in pop culture and easy to remember.
You could probably find the domain name too.
And we got, were able to get the dot coms that we needed. And that's actually a decision point for us. Yes. I'm too cheap. Like, I won't pay $10,000 for a domain name. I just won't do it. So, you know, before you start, go to GoDaddy, Google your domain names, try to find the one that you can get for $9 and move forward and commit to it.
And then you can spell it too, because I've had other companies where I couldn't spell their domain name and I couldn't find them. And
the tech world's full of that, right? We all love these super, you know, super intriguing ways to spell things, and nobody can ever find you. So we didn't want to be that easy.
No, that's very good. Even I can spell Lannister.
And 1,000 domain extensions.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I can spell it. So we were talking offline, and I want to make sure that we track, because I'm fascinated by the technology, of course, what we were talking about, and where it's going. And for me personally, I have a hard time evaluating technology. I can't keep up with it. I'm challenged enough with all of this stuff, right? And technology, you guys, and it's all your fault, not my fault, it's all your fault, that things go by fast and things evolve fast, and the solutions are bigger, better, and more awesome, if I could use that. And me as a human being trying to run my business, I'm trying to evaluate last week's technology, and now you're coming out with, you know, version 15. How do you address the human element in all this?
Well, you know, first of all, there was a point in time where we felt that blockchain as a technology had reached a critical mass as far as public awareness. And that was really important for us. As important as the blue ocean is that we see in the enterprise industry's adoption of blockchain and what the next, you know, 36 to 72 months looks like as those adoptions occur. What was also very, very important to us was that there was a mass consciousness awareness of just, right, the name of the technology, even if people don't truly understand what it does. And that moment for us as a psychological impact effect was around the time that Bitcoin hit 20,000. And that's not because we're heavily invested in Bitcoin and that was a great payday for us. That's not because it's even necessarily directly correlated to the technology adoption. But it was a point where the media load and the awareness, the public awareness load of Bitcoin and blockchain and Ethereum and these words that, you know, 4 years ago, if you'd have said these in any kind of public room, non-technical room, no, everyone would give you a blank stare. Right,
like my face right now. It's like I'm trying, man. I'm working hard.
Right, no. But when that happened was the point where Chris and I looked at each other and said, "Okay, well, I don't know where Bitcoin's going to go. I don't know if it's going up or going down. It's been going down, whatever. But what I do know is that the general overall media is doing our work for us. Right, there are dozens and dozens and dozens of articles every single day coming out about the deployment of these technologies, crypto, all these different things." And so that means that the heavy lift of trying to go to market with something really, really, really new at least has the propellant of a large media cycle and a large media load supporting it. And that has really helped us immensely throughout the last year as we've taken Lannister Holdings, done a reverse merger to be public. We're publicly traded on the OTC market under the ticker symbol NBDR. And, you know, and then bringing out Lannister Development as a industry and enterprise business facing brand for the development and deployment and testing of these technologies, right? To answer your question about how does this hit the human side, especially in the vertical that we're talking about here on your show, right, is companies can look at these technologies and with relatively small risk, a relatively small investment, you can deploy this inside an internal vertical in your business for what amounts to a rounding error on a normal company's balance sheet, right? And so it's a very low risk proposition. You know, I can come in from a sugar refinery, and we can deploy a set of blockchain tools within their ecosystem, right? It doesn't even necessarily have to touch their partners.
Would it interface with their ERPs?
Yeah. So, I mean, whatever integrations need to happen, you know, our technical team has to work around the infrastructure that they already have, right? So there's third-party APIs, there's internal ERPs. You know, you've got existing systems infrastructure. Okay. The fact is that yes, it has to plug and play with those and it has to work, but it doesn't have to be, okay, we're now going to run everything in our organization on blockchain. Here's $100 million and we're staking our company, right? And so that allows us to work with companies who are at the forefront of their industry. Even if that industry is 10 steps behind the tech industry, they're at the forefront in their industry. And they're a little bit forward thinking, or they've got a you know, an old generation of executives who thinks this is really cool, or a new generation of executives who's saying, we want to test these things and deploy them. And you can deploy them in limited tranches within an organization because of the disparate use cases and because of the way that these things can be integrated. And so you don't have to bet the farm on it, right? You can make small investments in tests, and you can come out of those investments with tangible, executable results and a system that actually makes things better. And then you get to look at it from an executive suite, from a boardroom, and say, okay, we tested it here. What did it do? What did it save? What did it mitigate? All right, great. Now, how do we want to deploy it out further? Or do we want to deploy it out further? The answer, we hope, is obviously yes.
Well, of course, and more.
But, you know, but that's a real world example of being able to be at the cutting edge, test things, be first in your industry, and not only be first in your industry to deploy and test these types of technologies. Our company is specifically built. First of all, we are US-based publicly traded blockchain development company, right? There isn't competition for that right now. Second of all, we are consciously and proactively focused on the intellectual property points during our development cycles. We believe from a very core development ideology that most software development leaves large tranches of valuable IP on the table because they're just focused on going from here to here, right? I need to build this, and we build it. Our focus is on getting from here to here with brand new systems in verticals that have never deployed this type of technology before, even though the technology in and of itself of what it does is fairly simple to understand, right? From a contractual basis, from a systems inspection basis, from a systems deployment basis. So currently in the blockchain technology space, it is a Wild West land grab for intellectual property, which means that for the early adoption companies, you get to not only test things and play with things and deploy things on smaller, limited risk basis within your organization, but you also get to own the intellectual property pieces as they're developed of how that's done. And that has a whole other value proposition for industrial companies, right? Do you then, with those intellectual property rights, do you then license that out to your competitors? Do you become a person that has an ancillary revenue stream and an ancillary value point for your stakeholders because you own the way that this gets done in XYZ vertical? Or do you keep those technologies and those intellectual property points in-house and be the industry leader because, you know, you kind of have a monopoly on doing it that way. And that way has less cost, less risk, more transparency.
And it's not just geared toward financial transactions because it works well with financial transaction, but it could be just.
Well, as an example, Walmart, you know, Walmart has this massive infrastructure system of internal goods movement, right? We're not even talking about going out and all of these vendors and all of this product sourcing. Just internally, once a product hits their internal ecosystem, it travels the globe inside that ecosystem, right? You're talking about millions and millions and millions of transactions. Walmart built and we did not have anything to do with it. So just want to clarify that. But Walmart built an internal blockchain test system for this one little tiny sliver of their business. And that tiny sliver of their business was when an error happens, when we start losing product inside our internal ecosystem, how do we find the error? Not how do we find the product necessarily, not how do we go get that product back and put it where it's supposed to go. Just how do we identify the fail point within the organizational structure of an internal system. And they were, they did essentially a side-by-side test, and you can Google this, and their existing infrastructure and inspection systems, in order to identify a pain point within that internal system, was 2 to 3 weeks time and effort. And once they deployed that system on blockchain, they were able to identify those pain points in a matter of seconds. See, that's an insane differential.
What was the aha moment? What was that moment that, you know, we, as businesses, we were just going down this one road. And then all of a sudden, that aha moment that blockchain just sort of blew up. And all of a sudden, it solves all problems in the world.
Well, it won't, when did that happen? It won't do your hair in the morning. You don't have any, but it won't do your hair.
I don't have hair.
Look, I would have to disagree with you there, right? You have a very deep background and a very slow moving and very established kind of field, right? Mm-hmm. These are large scaled right. industries. They are very risk averse. They are they have entrenched bureaucracies, right? And bureaucracy loathes rapid change, right? Because, you know, people lose their pensions, things like that happen. But the reality is that business is what drives technology forward. DARPA only has so much money. The US military, you know, I mean, and they do really cool stuff, and they're way out there with all different kinds of things, way at the cutting edge. And unfortunately for the human experience, a lot of our technological, that's a word, disruption is driven by war needs, right? And that's something that is, whatever. Good, not good. I mean, you know, that sucks, but it's a fact. But other than those types of things where you have universities working with government and things like that, really you have business driving the implementation and development of the next generation of technologies. Now, we can have a discussion about what kinds of business and why they needed a digital currency that was not attached to a fiat. You know, and a lot of that is not necessarily the things that, you know, can be done in a JP Morgan Chase account through New York. Right.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is that that's still business. And that drove the test base for blockchain in the real world at scale. Right. So if you didn't have Bitcoin out there being transacted for all of the myriads of reasons that it was being transacted onshore and offshore and everywhere else, you wouldn't have this massive test base that technology needs to go through, right? So you would have a slower adoption cycle. But because of Bitcoin, because of Ethereum, because of these digital technology, you know, crypto technologies, crypto currencies built on this technology, you have this 6-year, 8-year adoption window and testing window where there's scaled adoption, there's scaled testing without needing, you know, GE to go try implementing this, right? And so now you have it moved forward where it's had an incubation period and it's had a testing period. And then companies like Walmart and JP Morgan and IBM and governments like, you know, Bermuda and even, you know, state governments, the state of Arizona. We're based in Arizona for a very strategic reason, right? Arizona has a blockchain sandbox law that allows blockchain companies to deploy their technologies for insurtech, for fintech in the real world without all of the regular regulatory approvals that have to go into those systems being deployed. Also, blockchain signatures, so you can we can deploy a smart contract in the state of Arizona and people can sign it digitally on blockchain and that signature is legally binding, right? So there's reasons that we're based in Arizona, there's reasons for those things, but the adoption of blockchain technology into these industries was not some, you know, buddy proselytizing about blockchain and then an industry going, okay, let me try that. It was simply a viewpoint that this actually possibly transacts things in a better, faster, more secure, less risk way. And if that's true, wouldn't we want to test it? And the companies that went out and tested it, right? Maersk Shipping is playing with blockchain. I mean, every logistics company is playing with blockchain. You know, like I said, Walmart, all of the large banks have blockchain development teams and use cases. The state of Delaware just signed a no-bid contract with IBM, which from a blockchain development standpoint, as a US-based company, we're not very happy that something like that can go to no bid. I think that that's, you know, that that's not the way that that should go. And we're going to be talking to Delaware about that.
Yeah, right.
So, but they just signed a no bid contract with IBM for $760,000 to test a blockchain. So just the overview, right? Just the infrastructure side of testing a blockchain system within the state of Delaware for their corporate registries and things like that. So governments are testing, and 760,000 sounds like a lot, and it's enough to make the news for sure. But you know, that's a very, very small amount of money for a state to be able to come in and test a piece and say, does this make things better? Does this impact things in a solid way? And those tests are happening faster and faster and faster and faster. And the impact points and the industry disruptions that are coming down the pipe are beginning to have a snowball effect, where it's not just, you know, decentralized cryptocurrencies. It's not just offshore monetary flows. These are Fortune 100 companies. These are state governments. These are federal governments that are saying, we can transact our land use on this. We can transact our tax base on this. We can improve our driver's license systems and our car registry systems and our internal operating systems with these technologies, where we have a better, faster, more secure, and lower cost and less risk platform to operate on.
And well, let me take that hat off and let's turn on, put on your future hat. And I know you guys are pretty bullish on blockchain. Where do you see it going? What's going on here? Where, if you could look 10 years down the road, what are you thinking?
Chris, you want to be the future caster?
I always like to say my crystal ball doesn't work so well, so I'll preface everything by saying
it's not going away. It's not that genie's out of the bottle. It's not going away. So where do you see it going?
We took a company public on the fact that we don't believe it's going away.
Of course.
So there's going to be a massive level of a very high level of disruption among just incredible sectors that are poor economy as we know today. Right? I mean, there's a reason cryptocurrencies have such a huge following at the moment. And it's not just, oh, Bitcoin exploded to 20,000. Let's all pile in and see what happens when it drops. No, this is a different way of transacting. This is a different way of moving value throughout the economy itself. And whether that's between a small piece of a company, whether that's between companies, whether that's between people, whether that's shares of a company, whether that's shares of a property or the way we do investments or all of these things, all of these, you know, ledgerable transactions, anything that needs a ledger essentially is somewhat disrupted by this, and some things to a very high degree, which is why you have so many ICOs and token sales and things at the moment, right? It's an unregulated security sale. And a lot of people jumped on that. They got a lot of money, and there's probably a lot of SEC phone calls coming in the next couple of years that people are not going to like. But the way of doing that is now different than it has ever been before because of these systems. And that is not going to go away, right? It might get regulated away. You know, China keeps flirting with no ICOs or, you know, you're allowed to have coins, and India just banned it again. I was reading the other day. You know, these systems and these regulations are going to continue to ebb and flow as these technologies evolve, but they're not going to disappear, right? You can't get rid of it.
A better way.
Make ad hoc networks and you really decentralize and distribute power.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a break. We're talking blockchain. We're talking about the future. We're talking about big thinking, quite frankly. And we all have beards, by the way. I just noticed that. Look at us, man. We're all bearded. So thank you very much for listening to the Industrial Talk podcast. We'll be right back. Hey, once again, this is Scott McKenzie with Industrial Talk. If you like what you're listening to, please feel free to sign up for the free podcast as well as the blogs. I'll try to keep it all relevant to your business and hopefully be able to provide some insight into what we do at Industrial Talk and what you do as a professional. Hope to see you soon. Thank you. All right. Welcome back to the Industrial Talk Podcast. Thank you very much for joining. These guys are awesome. I'm really happy that they're on the podcast because they're blowing my mind. It's about the future. I don't know what it means to a certain extent, but I know that the future's bright. Maybe the machines will run the world, but because of these guys and now that I know them, I don't have anything to worry about. So, hey, in our break, we were talking a little bit about, let's say I'm a company, right? And I am intrigued by what you have to say, and you guys are quite passionate about this. What can I do? I can contact you, and then, we were talking about free use case. Talk to me a little bit about that, yeah. Why this is important.
So if you're a company, if you're a CTO or an IT exec or just interested at any level of your organization, and you want to know a little bit more about how blockchain works in specific verticals, you can go to lanisterdevelopment.com. There's a button there that's for a free case review, a free use case review. There's no cost, there's no obligation. Our team will, come have a meeting with your organization, look at what you guys are currently doing, and we'll give you some insights about how blockchain might be able to be deployed in your exact company with some very, very specific, high impact but low cost test models within your existing organization. So visit lanisterdevelopment.com. We're happy to take those phone calls. We're happy to come play with your team and show you guys what we think can impact your industry.
Okay, you had me at blockchain, but give me 3 to 5 reasons why I need to contact you guys and why blockchain is important for me as a business.
You don't want to be Blockbuster.
What's that?
You don't want to be Blockbuster.
Very good, man. That's one. I don't want to be Blockbuster. 2, give me another reason why. That's good.
If you need increased security, if you need a higher level of data fidelity, if you need to have maintained state across multiple players, right? So we're talking about distributed consensus networks, not necessarily just blockchain. So if you need multiple pieces of your business to know a state of data, but you want that data to be secure and reliable and high fidelity, this is a good system for you.
You guys got that technical jargon all nailed down, man. I'm telling you, it's so funny. I love listening to it. It's fantastic. Well, how else can they get in contact with you guys? Outside of the website, boom, got that. Use case free. And then, of course, these points.
Twitter. Twitter's a great one. I'm at Lannister CEO. We have at Lannister Dev, Lannister DEV. And Chris, what's your Twitter?
I don't actually know. I'm terrible at social media.
Yeah, so you can find it.
Yeah, you can write me an email if you really like. It's on the website.
CTO has no. Let me ask you this. You guys both have LinkedIn accounts out there, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Simple. So just go Simple. Out there and once again, because I just sent your invite, not you, Chris, your brother Joe. So I... you guys are out on LinkedIn. You guys are active, right? So if somebody says, hey, gosh darn it, I want to know more about these guys, let me contact them. You're good to go.
Absolutely. So that's very, Chris. Very, very responsive. We work very, very hard at that.
The problem, Chris, is that your name is Chris Brown. You know how many Chris Browns out there? There's a ton of Chris Browns out there. So do what? Chris Brown, Lannister?
Lannister Development.
Development. Yeah, that's Chris Brown.
And you can find Lannister Holdings on LinkedIn, very and good, then everybody's good. Listed as staff.
That's exactly right, because Joe Schneider, there's a bunch of Joe Schneiders out there.
There it is. We have some extraordinarily common names. It's worked well for a very long time.
So just go to Lannister Holdings and then find these guys and connect with them, and don't let me down, okay? Don't let me down, man. When they say, click.
I can promise you this. The people that come engage with us will, they will have a fantastic experience. They're going to have a great time. They're going to get world-class service, and our teams are absolutely second to none.
Wow. I'm speaking to the cream of the crop in blockchain. I am honored. And I know the listeners are honored, because I'll tell you, man, thank you very much. I really appreciate you joining the Industrial Talk podcast. You guys rock. I really enjoyed the conversation. And I think that there's, I guarantee you that we just scratched the surface. And of course, I've got to go dab my ears and get rid of the blood that's been pouring out, because you guys are so knowledgeable. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. You guys have a good 4th, okay?
Thanks, Scott. Have a happy 4th of July.
And thank you very much. We're going to be on the other side. We're going to wrap this whole thing up. Remember, get out there. Contact these guys. They know what they're doing. So hang tight. We're going to wrap this show up.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, let's just put a little bow on that interview. Thank you very much to both Joe and Chris with Lannister Holding. Fantastic interview. I still am amazed at blockchain, the future, and how that whole technology fits in. You as an industrial professional need to know about it. So contact those guys at Lannister Holdings and find out more and see how that technology can make you a better business, your business a little bit better, and whatever it needs to happen. So once again, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. You can find everything that you need to know about Industrial Talk Podcast at industrialtalk.com. We're out there on Facebook. We're out there on LinkedIn. We're out there on Twitter. We're out there on Instagram. And we've got a YouTube channel. And you know what it's all called? Industrial Talk. So find us out there. We've got some stuff. And remember, we're going to have that Business Beatitudes program going. We're going to have more of that business development program going. And then we're also going to have that customer-centric program going. All good. All focused on you, the industrial professional, and you, that owner of that industrial company. We want you to be a success and grow. So have a great week. Thank you very much. And we look forward to talking to you soon. Reach out to me. I won't bite.